Welcome to Across the Desk, where we discuss entrepreneurship, small business, and everything in between. It's Elizabeth Plouffe, and welcome to Across the Desk. Today's Wise Words, and Wise Words is an opportunity for me to share my obsession with reading and books and all things wonderful that fall between pages. I'm still an old-fashioned paper kind of girl, and I do read online occasionally, but I don't know what it is. It's the tactile attachment to the page. So I'm assuming at some point I'll have to give up and go over to a Kindle, but for now, it's paper for me. So last year, the year before, Jason Little, who's been on the podcast a few times, he's the author of Lean Change Management, which is an awesome little book that you should check out if you're interested in agile and change. And when I reached out for authors that he recommended Chip Heath and Dan Heath. And they made a book a few years ago called Made to Stick. And then I So my special little haunt for business books, again, a little obsessed, kind of like shoes for some women, but it's books for me. So I buy a lot of them used and I go to Value Village. So if you're listening outside of the Ontario area, Value Village is just an overall used, you can get anything there, clothes, books, whatever. And I haunt used bookstores because if I paid, you know, the full 40, 50 bucks per business book, my husband would divorce me and I'd be broke and I'd be in business just to buy books. So I happened to be at Value Village, found Made to Stick by Chip Heath and Dan Heath, Why Some Ideas Survive and Others Die. And this is with added material that makes it now extra sticky. So I was very excited. Any kind of improvement always makes me happy. And the really cool thing about this is what they're talking about is how to get the idea for your product, service, you know, whatever business you're in, out to the public and help people to remember it, and help people to obviously be involved and create a little community around what you're doing. And so what they talk about are a variety of stories, and they start out with things like urban legends and how those become urban legends and how they change and what the sticky factor is of those. They talk about what makes it sticky. And so what they say here is to make it sticky, your story has to be understandable, memorable, and effective in changing a thought or behavior. So true. And then they talk about the six principles of success, which I have to go and find because I can't remember what it stands for. And then the villain that they talk about throughout the book is the curse of knowledge. And I've run into this so many times, where you have somebody giving a presentation, sharing information with you, what have you, and they're talking to you as though you have the same base of knowledge that they do. And in some situations you do, and it's awesome, and you have a great conversation. But when people make that assumption and they aren't brave enough to ask whether everybody understands what they're saying, then you have this complete lack of onboarding with the information. So I know when I'm talking or teaching businesses, about certain things, I'll always say, so hey, if you don't understand anything I'm saying, please let me know. And if you do, amazing, that's fantastic. But if you don't, I'd rather know and make sure that I'm giving you the right amount of knowledge, you know, based on your experience or what have you. And it's just really interesting. So they talk about a ton of different things and the things that you can use to make an idea sticky. And they've gathered these under the headings of simple. So for an example, there's an airline, I think it's Southwest, which yikes, because they've been in trouble. The low fare airline. And that's their core principle that drives everything that they do. And the story that they use within that, I'll try and find that, is, you know, it drives everything from how staff are hired to how the meals are made to the quality of the product on the plane and what have you. I don't mean that, you know, wings or anything, but seating, whatever. And so if somebody comes to the owner with an idea, he'll say, is this going to impact the price of the tickets that we're providing for people? And if it does, he's just like, nope, that's not going to work because that's going to not make us the lowest fare airline. Really simple. And the cool thing is that it can drive effective change and move things forward much faster if you have such a simple thing that you're going towards. And it goes on. And then the next one is unexpected. So the one was the successful flight safety announcement. And I think we've all seen that. You can see the YouTube videos, and some of them are just friggin' hysterical. But it might be a short-term stick, but you'll remember it. And if you start to research airlines to take a trip, you'll likely come across it, and it might influence your decision on how you're going to fly. And then it's taking the guessing game out of decision-making. So they talk about concrete, credible, emotional. Emotional was a really interesting one. And within this as well, they also provide clinics, they call them, within it. So at the end of each, or it could be in the middle, but in the chapters, they'll give messaging ideas, and they'll review them, and they'll say, okay, this is why this particular idea was not going to get sticky the way it was written, and this is what it could do to change it. And a couple of them, there was an exercise that involved Nora Ephron, and the teacher said something about go through this article and find the lead. And they all made these complicated, over-the-top decisions. And they came back and they said, well, the lead is there's no school next Thursday. It was really, really simple. Anyway, that made probably not a lot of sense out of context. But before I jump into reading out of the book, which is what I do, there are very few business books that I've read that when I'm done, I say, you know what? I need to read that again. And one of the reasons is I started this book right before Spark the Change Toronto, which is a 2-day conference that I just helped run. And so I was very distracted and I didn't give the book the attention that it should. But it kept pulling me back. And every time I read it, I had an aha moment. Every time I read it, I learned something new, identifying gaps in knowledge and how to make things sticky, and the notes that they give at the end on using stories to get people to act and the ways you should structure the stories. Just, it's a really good book. And it's one that I don't think, other than some of the examples, will ever go out of date. It's definitely worth the investment. So, from a thumbs up perspective, if I had more than two thumbs, I'd give it more than two, but I don't. So, anyway, one of the things that I read here, here we go. So imagine that you close the book right now and took an hour-long break. In fact, don't even take a break. Just call up a friend and retell the passage without rereading it. It's the kidney heist story, urban legend, where somebody wakes up in a bathtub and they're missing a kidney and they have to call 911. Good luck, they say. So, is this a fair comparison, an urban legend to a cherry-picked bad passage? Of course not, but here's where things get interesting. Think of our two examples as two poles on a spectrum of memorability. Which sounds closer to the communications you encounter at work? If you're like most people, your workplace gravitates towards the nonprofit pole as though it were the North Star. Maybe this is perfectly natural. Some ideas are inherently interesting and some are inherently uninteresting. A gang of organ thieves, inherently interesting. Nonprofit financial strategy, inherently uninteresting. It's the nature versus nurture debate applied to ideas. Are ideas born interesting or made interesting? Well, this is a nurture book. So how do we nurture our ideas so they'll succeed in the world? Many of us struggle on with how to communicate ideas effectively, how to get ideas to make a difference. A biology teacher spends an hour explaining mitosis, and a week later, only three kids remember what it is. A manager makes a speech unveiling a new strategy as the staffers nod their heads enthusiastically, and the next day, the frontline employees are observed cheerfully implementing the old one. Good ideas often have a hard time succeeding in the world. Yet the ridiculous kidney heist tale keeps circulating with no resources whatsoever to support it. Why? Is it simply because hijacked kidneys sell better than other topics? Or is it possible to make a true, worthwhile idea circulate as effectively as this false idea? It's a really cool book. So how I measure the coolness of a book is how many stickies get stuck here. And I have quite a few in this book, I'll tell you. And once I go back and reread it, I know I'll have more. And so this is one of the clinics that they talk about. And It's using the tool of the unexpected, and it's adding a punchline. And they talk about the fact that, so here's the situation that they provide. And I love this because for most people anyway, I'm going to back up for a second. For most people, being provided an example of how to apply a theory, obviously, you know, makes sense for this book because it makes it more sticky. When you can apply something to real life and relatable to, you know, your work, your business, your relationship, whatever it is, you're more likely to take it on board and apply it. So the clinic here is talking about an internal presentation on fundraising. Here's the situation. Imagine that you're the fundraising manager for a local theater company. Your job is to help raise donations to support the theater. It's now the end of the year, and you're preparing a summary presentation for the theater's board of directors. So this one, the first message basically talks about the statistics and what they did and the tactics, the goals. To reach them, we implemented a phone-based fundraising program. 6 months into the program, the response rate's been almost 20%, considered a success, blah, blah, blah. And it's boring. It's just boring. So message number two, this year we set out to answer a question. Why do people under 35, who make up 40% of our audience, provide only 10% of our donations? Our theory was that they didn't realize how much we rely on charitable donations to do our work. So we decided to try calling them with a short overview of our business and our upcoming shows. Going into the 6 month test, we thought a 10% response rate would be a success. Before I tell you what happened, let me remind you of how we set up the program. So it's following the gap theory, and, you know, assuming there are gaps in knowledge around why the program was set up and what they did and all that kind of great stuff. But it gets you interested. It gets you thinking, and it gets you, I think, wanting to ask questions versus, you know, the boring lay the statistics on me, which, you know, makes us all go to sleep. And battling overconfidence. So the gap theory relies on our ability to point out things that people don't know. One complication is that people tend to think they know a lot. Research has shown that we are typically overconfident about how much we know. In one study, researchers asked people to consider the serious parking problem faced by their university. Participants were given time to generate as many solutions as they could. The participants generated in total about 300 solutions, which were classified into 7 major categories. Keeps going on. And then, okay. The average participant failed to identify more than 70% of the best solutions identified by an expert panel. This failure is understandable. We wouldn't expect any one person to be able to generate a database worth of solutions. However, when the individuals were asked to assess their own performance, they predicted that they had identified 75%. They thought they got the majority, but in reality, they'd miss them. So identifying those gaps in knowledge, like I was just saying, when you were addressing a crowd, you're talking to somebody, whatever, I always use a qualifying statement, you know, like, how much do you know about this? And hopefully most people are, you know, relatively honest, but as identified by this, most are not. So then it's a balance of how much information do you provide and, you know, enough to get your story across, but not enough to be insulting, I guess, is the thing here. The other thing they talk about with having your idea be sticky is how people's memories interfere with the story that you're telling. And certain words and certain phrases and certain images will conjure up memories for people that can interfere with their ability to remember your story. Their own memories may get superimposed over your story, and the message may get a little muddled. And it's the definition of truth that they talk about here. So the definition, and what they mean by that with the definition of truth is how you in your memory define certain things, what is true for you, for what that evokes in you and what have you. And your brain just, it cannot process all the information. So it'll fill the gaps with your memories and can muddy the story. So your goal is to, when you're sharing a story about your business, obviously, is to provide enough information to overcome somebody's memories and their natural tendency to insert a knowledge gap with their own stuff and to make your idea sticky so that they remember it. And one way of doing this, and one thing that really came out for me, is what they talk about here is to make an idea concrete. And it goes back to here, to be simple, to find our core message is quite difficult. It's certainly worth the effort, but let's not kid ourselves that it's easy. Crafting our ideas in an unexpected way takes a fair amount of effort and applied creativity. But being concrete isn't hard, and it doesn't require a lot of effort. The barrier is simply forgetfulness. We forget that we're slipping into abstract speak. We forget that other people don't know what we know. We're the engineers who keep flipping back to our drawings, not noticing that the assemblers just want us to follow them down to the factory floor, which is a previous story that they used to illustrate it. And that's one thing that's really cool about this book as well, is that they give you a lot of stories to help you understand the concepts more. And to me, they're broadly applicable stories. I was reading E-Myth Mastery by Michael Gerber, and for that one, they chose somebody who was running a bakery or something to be the chief character that they used to illustrate the various things that you should be doing. And for me, I don't know what it was. I just found it really difficult to abstract how they were applying the tactics to her and apply them to me. Anyway, this book, not so much. It's great stuff. They talk about analogies. They talk about making things credible. Like, it's really good. And then they get into stories and how those can impact what you share and the different tactics that you should use. And at the very end, there's a cool thing. It's called an easy reference guide. And they talk about simple things, the success strategy, what it means to have a credible story, concrete story, helping people to understand. Like, I love it when resources are given at the end that you can pull out and stick up on your wall, especially if you're a writer, especially if this is what you do for your business, or if you're a solopreneur and you're the only one doing it for your business, then having some concrete action items that you can remember and thinking a little bit outside the box when you're going to tell your story is definitely a useful thing. So if you've been looking for a way to communicate differently about your business, if you have some stories that you want to share and you need a better way to get them out, honestly, this is a book I would highly recommend. Again, it's Made to Stick, Why Some Ideas Survive and Others Die. Chip Heath and Dan Heath are the authors. And just to give you a little background, Chip Heath is a professor at Stanford Graduate School of Business, teaching courses on business strategy and organizations. They have another one, The Power of Moments, Why Certain Experiences Have Extraordinary Impact. Oh, I'm going to have to go back and get that one. And they have another one, Decisive, How to Make Better Decisions in Life and Work. Who knows? So this was the first book, the Made to Stick book. And again, can't read it. Can't wait to read it again. And then Dan Heath is a senior fellow at Duke University's Case Center, which supports social entrepreneurs. Co-author with his brother. He has an MBA from Harvard Business School and a BA from the Plan 2 Honors Program from the University of Texas. Oh, he says here, one geeky moment for Dan was his victory at the 2005 New York Cartoon Caption Contest, beating out 13,000 other entrants. I think these guys need to get out of their mama's basement. I don't know. But the book is smart. It's a little bit funny. I had a ton of aha moments. Highly recommend it. If you've read it before, I'd love to hear your impressions in the comments. And if you have another book that you'd like to recommend, also leave that there. That would be awesome. And looks like I'm going to have to go to the bookstore and get some more of these Heath Brother books because they're really good. I hope you're having a fantastic day. I hope these wise words help you to achieve something or read something that'll improve your business. And if you have any questions, leave them in the comments. If you want to check me out on Twitter, I'm at MCVComms, and Facebook and MCV Communications for my website, just all over the place. I hope you're having a fantastic day, and we'll talk soon. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to Across the Desk. You can follow me on Twitter at MCVComms, Instagram at MCV Communications, or visit mcvcommunications.ca to see where else I'm hiding out.